Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. In today's episode, we gave you 15 tips on how to track your macros. So if you ever wanted to track your macros or are currently tracking, this is an episode that you want to listen to. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, could you please share it with family and friends that might get value from it too? Don't forget to tag us on Instagram so we know that you're listening. Thanks again. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Tracking macros, we talk about it all the time. We recommend people do it if they have a specific goal, say it's a great educational tool. But why tracking macros, how to track macros, tips when it comes to tracking macros, let's discuss it all in this podcast. First of all, why tracking macros, big man? Why?
Why tracking macros? It's a personal preference, but I believe that everyone should at least try tracking them once in their life just to know exactly what they're eating. Some people might not even know how much calories or how much like different macronutrients are in their food. They'll just go willy-nilly. And until you actually track it and see how much you're eating, and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that that little bit of noodles was 500 calories. Maybe I shouldn't have two of them like three times a day. You wonder why, like maybe you're not losing fat if you are trying to lose fat. So I like it as a good educational tool to see exactly what you're having and just find out, like we say, oh, get protein in all the time. It's like, well, if you tracked your food, you would know what foods have more protein than others. So then you can move forward going, all right, I think I'm going to choose this food over this food because I know this has more protein in it. Or if you wanted to do high fat, you're like, I want this higher fat food compared to this lower fat food for hormones. Or if you want carbohydrates, you could go for the higher carbs instead of the lower carbs. And it's just getting to know like what you're actually eating, because I don't think a lot of people know exactly what's in their food, or at least the breakdown of macronutrients. And before I think we move forward, we probably should say like, what are macronutrients? The three main ones is protein, which is 4 calories per gram. Carbohydrates, which is also 4 calories per gram. And then you've got your fats, which is 9 calories per gram. So they're the three macronutrients, and they make up, well, they all have calories in them. And that's what's your, you got your total calories and then your macronutrients that you break down from that. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But that's how I would recommend tracking. Well, that's why I think tracking macros is great for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. It's an educational tool, but for me, speaking purely anecdote, it gave me a lot of freedom with my food choices. So when I realized that I didn't have to eat chicken, rice, and broccoli for every meal of the day, and I can instead have, I don't know, a fish, a sweet potato, and some green beans, and it came to the exact same macronutrient breakdown, that I'd totally be fine. Or I could even go something left field, and instead of having like an apple, I could have a handful of gummy worms or something. Now, I'm not recommending that, but it's just a bit of freedom in knowing that those food choices won't completely derail your progress away from your goal. So that they're the main two. And then the third one is it takes any guesswork out. So with any other diet, they're usually really strict and rigid. So let's say keto, for example, pretty much eliminates all carbohydrates. Now, in my opinion, that eliminates all joy or will to live in your life. So I would rather not go keto. I would rather find a way of dieting that works for me, that allows me to reach my goals. Tracking macros seems to be the one for me. Now, any diet will work, provided it puts you in a calorie deficit. So you do need to be in a calorie deficit in order to see fat loss. Or if you're going for muscle gain, then you need to be in a surplus. If you've got your macros designed to get you towards your goal, and you hit those numbers, you can then make adjustments accordingly. Whereas if you're keto, it's like, okay, I need to eat more meat. Or if you're vegan, it's like, okay, I just need to eat more, but you don't know how much more. You don't know where exactly you're going wrong. Whereas this, it gives you a more accurate representation of, are you heading in the right direction towards your goal? Because you've got targets and you've got numbers to hit each day. So for me, that would be another big reason why I recommend tracking macros.
Yeah. And you may have heard things like if it fits your macros, so IIFYM or whatever it is. And yeah, that was back in the bodybuilding forum days where people would like ask Lane Norton and all those guys in the forums of like, can I have this? Because they would be on strict meal plans and then you can't deviate from the meal plan. But if they kept asking their coaches, oh, instead of, yeah, like you said, like a apple or whatever, can I have gummy worms? And then they just kept saying, oh, if it fits your macros. And then that's where this all bred out of, well, of course, if they're the same calories and same macros, then yeah, sure, go right ahead. It doesn't matter. Obviously, there's different nutritional values for that. But when it comes down to it, calories in, calories out, it all does not matter one bit. So I love that it does give you the freedom. And when I first heard about it, oh my gosh, it was like a weight off my shoulders of like, oh, if I just hit these numbers, I'll be sweet. I can just, yep. And you're just like, wow, crazy. So it is a big weight off your shoulders once you learn how to track your macros. And then you have the freedom to add in those desserts or foods and not feel guilty when you do have it because you're like, nah, it's within my calories, it's within my macros, it's fine. Like instead of going so strict so far and then just having one piece of cake and go, oh, I've ruined everything and then just binge later. So it's also a good tool to stop you from maybe binging as well. I'm not specifically saying it's going to, but it's definitely a good way of just being aware of what you can and can't have like within your diet.
100% helped me. Like I said, it's one of the big keys to what helped me overcome binge eating because I was so rigid and so strict of like chicken, rice, broccoli, chicken, rice, broccoli, and was so rigid. And then as soon as I would have one thing that would be quote unquote clean, not clean food, then I would completely derail and go, oh, I've had one cookie or I've had one donut or I've had one spoonful of ice cream. Let's have 20.
Yep.
And it would be a free for all. So it 100% helped me. And that's not saying it'll help everyone, but it did certainly help me. So yeah, that's our reason of why we recommend tracking macros. Now, when it comes to tracking macros, ideally you want to have a specific goal. So now your goal will be dependent on what your goal is. So if you're wanting to build muscle, then we'd recommend you be in a surplus. If you want to lose fat, calorie deficit. If you're just looking to maintain and maybe work on an eating issue, allowing yourself to enjoy some of the foods you love without being overly rigid, then maybe just maintenance and just track where you're at and see how you go. Or it could just be my goal of tracking macros is just to understand the nutritional value of the food that I'm eating. There's many goals you can have going out to it, but I think you need to be clear on your goal heading in towards tracking macros. Otherwise, it'll just be like a why am I doing this?
Yep. Because at the end of the day, it's once you get used to it, it's quite easy to track it and you've got your systems in place of when you do it and you have your diary with all your foods in it already. So it becomes easier at the end. But at the start, I can see it does take a little bit of time getting used to. And I think people do find that they're like, oh no, I've tried that. And they maybe tried for like a day or two because it was too hard because they had to look up everything and they go, oh, it's not in the diary. I got to do this. And it's like, oh, now I got to weigh it. And it can take a little bit of time up front. But like once you get used to it, it's like riding a bike. It's just like, yep, that's what it was. Just put it on the scale. Like scale's always in the kitchen. And I just automatically just put it shit on the scale a lot. And it just becomes like a, yeah, like second nature. Just going in, just putting it on there, scale done. And then just pop it in MyFitnessPal or whatever app you're using to track. So yeah, you need to find what goal you're doing, and obviously it depending on your goal, how strict you want to be with the tracking. So say like a fat loss goal that needs to be more tighter than say like a muscle building goal, whereas you can be a little bit over, you may gain a little bit more fat, but when it comes to losing fat, I believe you need to be a little bit more stricter with your tracking than you do would be like instead of maintenance or a surplus.
I agree with that. So that's reasons why, and then goal behind tracking. Now let's get into some tips for some people. So we've got 15 tips listed out here, and we'll start with number one, which is view it as an educational tool. So you discussed this earlier, and I think this more leads into like your mindset heading in, like of why you're tracking macros. Yes, you may have your goal of I want to lose fat, I want to build muscle, I want to work on my relationship with food. But you still want to have that mindset of, okay, I want to view this as an educational tool so I can understand the foods that I regularly eat and that I commonly choose to eat that I like that align with my goals. What's the nutritional value of those foods? The proteins, the carbs, the fats, the calorie content. It'll even give you, if you use like an MFP or is it Calorie King? It'll even give you like fiber content. It'll give you vitamin A, B, C. It'll give you your mineral content. So view it as an educational tool so you can have a better understanding of the nutritional value of the foods that you commonly eat.
For sure. You've also got like, if you're using it for like an elimination diet, so if you're eating certain foods, you could also use it as like, oh, I'm tracking these foods now. And you're like, okay, I feel really tired or my stomach's upset or I need to go to the toilet. You could just flick back into your tracking app and go, okay, I've had these kind of foods. This is a little bit off on this day, which has maybe made me feel like this on this day. Let's introduce it again to see if it does the same thing, or maybe it was something else, or I just had way too much pasta on one day, and that's why I'm like on the couch for the last half an hour. All these little tools, and you're like, oh, this is usually how much pasta I have, but really, I only need like say 100 grams instead of 300 grams. That's probably why I am in that coma. And yeah, it's a great educational tool, and like you said, it's the mindset going in.
Yeah, so I really view the mindset leading in of like it's an educational tool. It's essentially a skill that you can look at a plate of food. Let's say if you eat out at a restaurant, you can look at a plate of food and go, right, this is roughly this many calories, this many grams of protein, this many carbs, and you can make more informed food choices later in life when not tracking macros because you don't have a specific goal and you don't need to do it anymore. You can then make better informed food choices because you've done the groundwork and you've done like, let's say like a 12-week course in tracking macros of now you can understand the nutritional value of said foods. So yeah, I've really find that mindset heading in of like, it's not a chore. It's not so this is me creating a skill for life that I'll be able to take to any restaurant, any eating out option. If you're at a party with friends, you can use that skill to make more informed choices to help you maintain your physique that you've created by tracking macros.
Yeah, it's like when you go out to dinner and you're like, yep, that's that easy. I can have these kind of options because you know the value of the food. You know what the ma roughly the macros are, the calories are, and you're like, I'm going to order this, this, and this instead of having this, this, and this. Say, so yeah.
Okay, tip number two, don't let MyFitnessPal determine your starting calories macros. So they are notoriously bad at determining people's starting calories macros. They set them way too low, completely unsustainable. Yeah, their main priority is to get you to drop weight fast so you continue to lose their app. They don't care about your overall long-term health, well-being, and the fact that you may be walking around like a zombie for a couple of weeks. They just want you to get quick results fast so you continue to use their app and be like, oh, every time I go to my fitness pal and they set up the calories for me, I always lose weight. Well, yeah, it's because they put you in such a heavy deficit that you end up feeling like shit, and that's why you can't sustain it long term. So don't let MyFitnessPal determine your starting calories and macros.
Yeah, because usually no one's gone on there and used that as a tool to get their maintenance. It's always like when they sign up, it'll say, oh, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to lose weight. Oh, how fast do you want to lose it? Yeah, 2 kilos a week. And it just drops
Yeah.
it to the baseline. I think it's 1200 as low as
Twelve
they can
hundred.
go, as low as they can go. So that's what like most people get set at. And yeah, that's what's funny. So I think, yeah, just finding a calculator online. I know Legion has a good one online, but most out there are fairly basic. And you just put in how many your weight, your height, how often you exercise, like if you're active in that, and then it'll give you a rough estimate of how many calories you have. And then now the breakdown of the macros, some do it and some don't. So that also depends on personal preference. They used to do it with your like, what was it, somatotypes or some shit, which is like bullshit. So don't fall into that. It's like personal preference, whether you like high fat or high carb. Personally, I think setting your protein at a certain base of between, say, 1.6 to 2.2 grams per kilo of your ideal weight that you want to get to. And then the fats and carbs can fall where they may, really. You're like, you, even just like using it the first 2 weeks just to see what you're eating. And you can go, okay, I do choose more high carbohydrates foods than fats. So that might actually be better for you. And just like sticking with it, because you're not going to dramatically change. When you do dramatically change your eating, that's when like shit can go wrong. You're like, people get like keto flu if they go straight to keto and stuff if they're not used to having a lot of fat and stuff. So I think usually you'll have your macros pretty well set to what you eat anyway. So you'll be like, oh yeah, I do eat high carb, or yeah, I do eat high fat. So I might as well like keep with that and don't change it too much, but just make sure that you're hitting that minimum protein, especially if you're in a fat loss phase. Again, comes down to your goals, but that 1.6 to 2.2 is a good range to aim for when moving forward.
Yeah, there's a plethora of options out there to figure out your total daily energy expenditure. So you could just type in TDEE calculator anywhere. Like you said, Legion's got one. Pretty much any major coach in the world has got one on their website somewhere that's free to use. So they all pretty much run off the same metrics and data. So just figure out your total daily calories, and then from there, like you said, figure out your protein. So lean body mass or goal body weight. I'd prefer to go lean body mass because your goal body weight is probably different. You're probably thinking of a goal body image and you're aligning the weight to the image, and they don't always match up. You'll probably be happy with where you look at a much higher body weight. So I prefer lean body mass. And once you go your 1.6 to 2.2 grams of protein from there, let carbs and fats fall. If you prefer higher fat foods, so like peanut butter, avocado, oils, fattier cuts of meat, then I would go a higher fat route. If you prefer high carbs, so think pasta, rice, fruits, then I would go for a higher carb option. But yeah, that's totally personal preference from there. I will throw in though, you do need to hit a minimum fat target. I usually shoot for 15 to 20% as a minimum of total calories coming from fat. But yeah, other than that, it's personal preference. Once you hit that protein target, it's purely personal preference.
Yeah, and just a note on the lean body mass as well. How would you say for people to work that out?
Yeah, it's difficult to work out. So goal weight is a rough idea, but like I said, people will often lose weight and then they'll be at a weight and they'll be like, oh, but the goal was to get to this. And I'm like, but you literally just said in your check-in right now that you're happy with where you look. It's the best you've ever looked. Will losing that extra 4 kilos or 10 pounds actually make any difference? Like you said, you're happy with where you look. It's the best you've ever looked. So why would you? Yeah, I'd goal weight, people often way undershoot that and think it should be lower than it should be. So I don't know, maybe goal weight plus 5 kilos or 10 pounds.
Yeah, or even whatever you're weighing now, go like the lower end, so the 1.6 grams of protein. And then if you're like a little bit leaner, then you can go on the higher end.
Yeah, that's not a bad way of doing it either.
Yep. Or I've also thought I've heard that just whatever you are in height, you're in centimeters, just use that as a base. So I'm 191, so 191 for me.
Height's a good one. I would never thought of height. Yeah, height's a really good
There we go.
one. Okay, tip number three, have some form of strategy or game plan heading in. So we talked about it being an educational tool. Yeah, we talked about you having your goal and talked about you creating and setting up your own calories, macros, but you can still be keto and track macros. You can still be vegan and track macros. You can be high carb, high fat, but you want to have some sort of game plan or strategy heading in. So think about what kind of foods you prefer and then bias your macros and calories around that. Say you prefer eating all your meals in the afternoon, you don't like eating breakfast, then bias all your meals to be larger portions after 12. And that way you can still hit your numbers. But you're now practicing intermittent fasting, which you say you prefer doing. It's better for your cognitive functional performance in the morning. So just be aware of what your numbers are and then create a strategy or game plan of when you're going to eat, what you're going to eat, how you're going to eat around that.
Yeah, exactly. Because you go, all right, I've got my macros and my calories. So then I'm just going to start tracking everything that I'm eating. And then you end up at the end of the day and you've had like 50 grams of protein 500 grams of carbs and like 200 grams of fat, and you're like, yeah, that didn't work out well. So yeah, having a game plan of going, all right, this is how much protein I need. I need to break it up into say three meals. I need to hit 150 grams of protein, say. That's at least 50 grams in each meal. Like, where can I get that from? And then that's when you start scanning, and that's when you can start going, all right, what do I eat right now? And how much protein does it have in it? How much carbs does it have in it? How much fat does it have in it? And then you can go from there. And you go, all right, I probably can have a lot more meat here, and then just maybe ease up on the pastas and the rices. Like, I'm having that in every single dish, and sometimes I'm not even having a meat source. Unless you're vegetarian, obviously that's a little bit different. But you're going to go with, okay, what's my nice whole food quality sources that I want, instead of just getting all the frozen packet stuffs all the time? Because, you know, just because you went vegetarian or vegan doesn't mean that you're going to be eating healthy, because there's a lot of like unhealthy options out there. Just like there's a lot of unhealthy options for most diets. But I think, yeah, having that game plan and strategy of like, all right, at least for the day, all right, what am I actually going to eat today? Like, maybe even the night before, just plug in and play around with it and go, all right, this is what I usually eat. I'm within my calories, or I'm not within my calories. You can be like, oh shit, I'm actually, 500 calories more. Where can I take stuff away that I don't need? I'm like, oh, okay, maybe just one chocolate bar instead of two. So, and then you can play around with it, and it's great because you're like, all right, I'll just lower this a bit and then switch it around. That's just having a game plan and a strategy. And then for the next day, you're like set. You're like, all right, sweet. And it's like, also, if you meal prep, then you know for next meal prep, all right, I need to have this amount of chicken in my meal prep, or this amount of rice, or this amount of veggies, to move me forward to what goals that I've chosen.
Yeah. And that actually blends nicely into tip number four, which is track your meals before eating them. So you mentioned there in part of the strategy game plan was you can potentially set up your day of eating the night before. So that's what I do. If I've got a 12 or 13 hour day in at the gym, I will track all my food before cooking it in my phone and go, okay, that's what I can eat throughout the day. I'll then go and cook it all. And then it's all set according to my macronutrient profile for that next day at work. But this could just be, let's say you do track on the go and you've been tracking for a while and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to have this peanut butter satay. Now, peanut butter is a notoriously high calorie food. So if you just go, oh yeah, two big glogs of peanut butter, oh yeah, 50 grams of peanut butter in this peanut butter satay, you'll be blown away by how many calories in this satay. And then you'll look at
Yeah.
your macronutrient breakdown, you'll be like, holy shit, I've blown through my calories at lunch with a peanut butter chicken satay. Yes, it may be a healthy option, but it contains a lot more calories than what I can afford. So calories are like a budget, right? And if you're earning 50 grand a year, you're not going to go out and buy a Ferrari. So this chicken peanut butter satay, it's a Ferrari. You can't afford the Ferrari when you're eating 1500 calories a day. So you've got to make smarter, more informed decisions. So therefore, if you tracked your meal beforehand and you realize, well, that's really calorie dense, maybe I'll just have a smidgen of peanut butter in it, even less than half the amount. It won't blow out my calories for the day. And then I can have more balanced meal portions throughout the rest of the day. And I won't have this big calorie dense meal at lunch and then suffer through the rest of the day and have a lettuce leaf and cucumber for dinner.
That's the thing, eh? It's like they'll have one massive bolus of protein, like say in the morning, like 100 grams or whatever, and then just have nothing throughout. And yeah, it's you can still get all that protein in that, but we do know if you're maximizing muscle growth, you want it nicely spread out throughout the day. And it's not just for muscle building, it's also like energy in that. You just said you're gonna have fucking lettuce wrap like for dinner. You're gonna be fucking wrecked afterwards. So that's also like being strategic with your macronutrients and calories of like, all right, if I can have it spread out throughout the day or whatever works best for you. So like maybe you can't eat as much in the morning, and you're like, all right, I'm gonna have a little bit lighter in the morning, lunch a bit more, and then dinner a little bit more after that. Again, it's just like having that game plan, that strategy, and knowing that tracking your meals is going to get you to the right macronutrients and calories throughout the day. And also, when you're tracking your meals, it's depending on like what your goal is as well. So just remember what goal you've got. So, like you said, you're like, yeah, that peanut butter chicken satay is gonna really ruin you if you're in a deficit. But if you're in a surplus, it might be all right to have.
You can afford the Ferrari though, because you're in a surplus.
Exactly. But we also don't want to dream a bulk with the bulk and get away too far. So we say roughly around that 10%, which say on me, it'd be only like 300 to 400 calories more. So that's probably your chicken satay right there. So you don't want to be having like three, four
Three
of
of
them. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that leads to tip number five. You can still eat similar meals. In fact, it's probably what I would recommend. Now, personally, what I do, and I feel as though you're fairly similar, is Monday to Friday when I've got like a routine and structure, like my work hours, I eat probably the same six, seven, maybe eight meals, and I just cycle through depending which time of day I eat them. And then I get more flexible with my food choices on the weekend. So it's totally fine to eat the same sort of meals and maybe like even have a meal plan like Monday to Friday and be flexible on weekends. Or let's say you have a meal plan for breakfast and lunch when you're at work, and then you have a different dinner each night. It's totally okay to do that. In fact, I'd probably recommend it because then it's a structured form of eating. But you don't want to be too structured and too rigid. So you can eat similar meals, but don't be too rigid about it.
Yeah, it's a great one. Of just having 5 to 8 or 10 different types of meals that you can just easily whip up, and you know the macros already, and it's already in your MyFitnessPal or whatever app you're using, and you go, all right, this is the meal I'm having, and you know exactly how many eggs you're having, or how much egg whites you got, or how much cheese you're putting in, just like one little meal, like how much mushrooms and tomatoes, and you just do it, and it's already in there logged for you because you've done it so many times. Or when you're doing your meal prep as well, you've just grabbed your meals out and stuff. And yeah, the Monday, the Friday, most people are pretty good. It's the weekends where people can get awry quite easily, especially when they're going out with friends and going for, the froths and that. It's like it gets out of hand. So depending on your goal will depend on how strict and tight you need to tighten the weekends up, because usually that's what I find of like, yeah, good Monday to Friday. And then you're like, oh, you didn't track on the weekend. It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Or usually you didn't forget. You're not in the structure of I'm having my meal at a normal time because you didn't wake up the normal time you used to. And also maybe you've gone out and you're like, oh, it's too hard. It's like, oh, I don't know what's in the meal. And that's going to come down to one, the skill of knowing exactly what's in there. You're not going to know 100%, and they're going to be out a little bit. But it's just getting in the act of just tracking what you think is in there, and you'll get it down better each time that you do it as well. So what I like to say as well, if you're out and you're like, oh, I can't remember what I had, so just take a picture of the meal that you have. Most people take pictures of the meals anyway. So just flick through your Instagram stories and go, oh, what did I have this day? Oh, that's right, that's what I had. So it's all sweet, man. And you could just break it down and work it out from there. But yeah, having set meals, knowing what you have, because most people eat pretty well the same shit anyway. So if you like were to track for like a week or two, you would see they're very similar meals, because it's what's left in the fridge if you have leftovers. But it is when you come to the weekend a lot different, or if you go to a party, there's going to be other things which you can maneuver around once you start getting better at tracking your meals.
Now, this also applies to, we talked about having a set goal when you come in earlier. And let's say your goal is to lose weight, and then you lose the weight and you're like, okay, I wouldn't mind a bit more muscle in my frame. Let's shift towards building muscle. Now, personally, and this is purely talking from my own experience, if I am trying to lose weight, I have my protein oats meal and I reduce the portion size of the oats to 100 grams. If I am then trying to build muscle, that portion size will jump up to 125 and then again to 150. So I'm still eating the exact same meal. It's just a larger portion of the meal depending on my goal. So you don't have to drastically change your food because you've changed your goals. You can still eat the same food. You just have to have different portion sizes of it. So this is another point of that I wanted to touch on of you can still eat similar meals like throughout your life. Even depending on what the goal is, just the portion sizes change.
Oh, that's such a good fucking point, Brock. That's like, it's so true, because I think people find they're like, all right, I'm going to go on a diet. And then they just completely change everything they're eating. And then they wonder why they don't stick to it. This is just a massive revelation I've just had as well. So thank you. It's like, stop changing so dramatically what you're having. It's like, just like what you said, it's like, whatever you have, you're like, oh, I'm having lasagna, like a whole 1.7 kilo lasagna, which I used to do. Obviously, I dream about that shit, right? So you could just halve it. Exactly. So you're still eating the same thing. So it doesn't feel like you're restricting so much because you're still having that same amount of food. And like, okay, maybe not a chocolate bar, but how about a protein bar? And maybe similar macros, but similar calories, but
The
you'll feel,
macros.
the macros will be better with the protein, and you'll also feel fuller because there's a bit of fiber in there as well. And then you won't ravenous and eat the whole bag of caramelly koalas. All right. So it is a good one because it's like, all right, if I'm bulking, I'll have, 4 or 5 eggs. If I'm cutting, I'll maybe have like 2 or 3 with egg whites. So similar sort of, it's still scrambled eggs, but it's just the ratio of like maybe not as much cheese. Like, I'll, maybe if I'm bulking, I'll go the full fat cheese. If I'm cutting, I'll go the 50% less fat cheese. Like, it's, yeah, I think we've done an episode on food swaps before, haven't we?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. It was a while ago, but it's a great one of like swapping out the food. They're like similar in taste, roughly, but the macros are just so much better. So I absolutely love that. And yeah, changing the portion size. People say it. They're like, oh yeah, I'm just eating lower portions. And you hear that from people. They're like, what have you done? So, oh, I just like cut my portion size down. Great tip. Great tip to have. So swapping it out, changing the portion sizes, and then you'll be golden. We've got more, but yeah, that's a fucking good one. I love it.
Yeah, so to give more examples for people, if I am in a, like, let's say maintenance phase of my life, most of my meals will have pretty much 100 grams of rice in them. If I'm trying to lose weight, initially I'll just cut that portion size of rice in half and go to 50 grams. And then if I'm really trying to push, then I'll just make the swap of going to cauliflower
Cauliflower.
rice. Yeah, and I can have 150 grams of that for half the amount of calories of the 50 grams of actual white rice. So I'm still eating, in fact, I'm eating a larger portion of food, but I'm containing fewer calories. So you can still eat similar meals, similar foods. The cheese one that you use there, same. If I'm trying to gain weight, I have the regular full fat cheese. If I'm trying to lose weight, I go the light or I believe Americans are lucky and they have no fat cheese over there.
Oh, really?
So,
I
well, you
think
have a no
London, that
fat.
protein one. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you can still eat similar foods. It's just you can change the portion sizes or if there are full fat, low fat, no fat option according to your goal.
What do you think would be better? I'm just trying to think, like, whether to say with your rice analogy, it's like you're cutting it down to 50 or you're changing it up. Like, would you rather change it up completely or would you rather just halve it? I guess it's personal preference, really, isn't it? Of like, I still want to eat the same food, I'll just cut it back, or let's just swap it out for cauliflower rice.
See, I much prefer the actual taste and texture of real rice for obvious
Exactly.
reasons because it's not cauliflower. So that's why my initial train of thought is just small, half the portion size. But then, when if I'm having to really watch calories, then I will make the change to cauliflower rice, and that's just because I'm getting a larger portion of food, so it'll take up more space in my stomach than the 50 grams of rice. So I'll probably feel fuller for longer. But my first preference is always just make the portion sizes smaller.
Yeah. And I guess it also comes down to your psychology around the food of like, yeah, I'm going to cut the rice, but I know there's more rice up there. So I might just go for a second. So it could even be like, I'm just not going to have rice. And that may work for you. So I guess this is just going to be a process throughout if you're dieting or gaining weight, whatever, what works best for you. And there's many options out there to choose from, but you got to know your own psychology.
Absolutely. Okay, so those first five tips are all based around like a game plan mindset leading in. So now let's move into some other ones on like how to actually track. So tip number six is weigh in grams and mils, not cups, spoons, or just generic entries. So yeah, this is a quite common one of people be like, oh yeah, I went from 1.5 cups to 1 cup, but the 1.5 cups was flat and the 1 cup's
Mounded,
heaped.
yeah.
So, you're having the exact same amount of calories, but it's 1.5 compared to 1 cup. Always, where possible, track in mils grams. If you eat out and you're like, okay, I'm trying to guess it in mils or grams, like don't try and go, oh, this is a medium-sized steak. A medium-sized steak could be hundreds of calories difference. So always try and make an educated guess when eating out in mils grams, and when you have the ability to do so, use your scale and track in mils and grams.
Yeah, it's just a lot more precise when you've got the grams. I know Americans, I think they use ounces, but the conversion 8 ounces is like 100 and something in grams. So it's a lot more specific if you're going with grams. And the mils is just like some, you've got like milk that may, it only weighs like maybe 10, 15 grams more, not even. So there's really not much with the meal. So if you just kept it on grams, you'd be fine as well. But like, can you think of anything that would be higher in meals than grams? Just a little bit like a milk. So, you know,
I keep everything in, my
a
scale just
grams.
stays on grams. Yeah,
Stay,
I
yeah,
don't change it to
exactly.
mils for liquids.
Exactly. And everyone knows the peanut butter one as well, of just like, yeah, a teaspoon or whatever it is. It's just, yeah, you're not having that. The whole like jar's gone in like 2 scoops. So, and Nutella. Nutella's mine. I know your peanut butter, but Nutella is like huge. That's why I don't have it in the house. So, keep it grams. It's just going to be so much easier, even for the Americans listening out there as well.
Yeah, the one of the main benefits of tracking macros is you get to be like accurate with, or as close to as 100% accurate as you can with like how much you're eating. So why would you not want to maximize how close you can get to your accuracy of the actual calorie content of the food you're eating? Like it may take 2 seconds longer to actually weigh it rather than just get a cup of oats out, but at least you know exactly what you're eating rather than, let's say, 80 grams of oats compared to 120 grams of oats. Like it's 2/3 the amount.
Yeah.
So yeah, just take that extra 5 seconds to just pop it on the scale, get your cup out, bang, put it on the scale, done. And you know exactly the calorie content of that food.
Yeah, now you can get too precise with this as well.
Yeah.
So like just round it up to 5, it's fine. Like if you're cutting, just go above. So like say you got your oats and it's like 78 or whatever, just say
80.
80 in if you're cutting. And then you can go 75 if you're bulking. Maintenance, I mean, you could go 78 if you want, but it doesn't really matter too much. But yeah, you don't want to be too full on and get orthorexic with it.
Okay, tip number 7, look for green ticks. So what I mean by green ticks is it's a verified option, which means it's proven to be accurate in the MyFitnessPal database of being the actual calorie content of the food you're eating. And it's got thousands of entries with that specific food. So just look for that little green tick. It's like a little blue tick on Instagram. Means they've been verified. That food's been verified. It's a foodfluencer. So use that option.
Yeah, exactly. Most of them will have it, just like with meats and stuff. Not everything, like you can't have everything as a green tick, but if you are searching it for the first time, it is better to go that green tick because MyFitnessPal, especially, you can just add foods. So anyone can add a food and they can be totally off. I remember having this is, like even I make mistakes. Like back maybe a year ago, I was having 2 fillets of salmon. And when I put it in my fitness pal, it would be like 500 grams would be the equivalent to 250 grams of salmon. So they'd just done the macros wrong. And I was always so full after the salmon and shit. And I'm just like, this can't be right. Like, why am I so full after? And I'm like, ah, that's why. Because the calories were like halved. So yeah, the green tick definitely helps you out. But also you can verify it on the internet if you're worried about it being off a bit and go, okay, this is the actual, I think there's Australian standards ones, there's USDA standard ones as well. So you can also just cross reference that on Google to make sure that it's accurate enough because you will be using it every time. So you're like, oh, I'm tracking the same thing. And yes, over time, if you're tracking the same thing, you're going to see the same results because it's the same thing over and over again. But Yeah, that was like a 250 calorie difference. And if I was having salmon a lot, it could add up to a certain amount of calories that where I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So even I fuck it up. So most people are really bad at tracking their calories. Let's just be honest. Like, just the even nutritionists were like up to 50% wrong. So, and you just forget sometimes. So we're just trying to get you to, get used to tracking. So it's going to be hard at the start, but it'll be better at once you keep going throughout.
So you mentioned the USDA there. Now, when it comes to tracking things like Whole Foods, so things that don't have a barcode, you'll have to manually search in MyFitnessPal or whatever tracking app you're using for that food. Now, if you're looking for, let's say, broccoli, for example, I would type in broccoli and then I would type in USDA or broccoli and then nut tab, which is the nutrition information table for Australia. And that will give you the Australian standard for the calorie content of that food. So with Whole Foods, always look to search for USDA, which is the United States Department of Agriculture, and I believe they set the caloric content for that food. And Nut Tab is the Australian version of that. So that's something to bear in mind when looking for a green tick. You also want to be looking for like an official standard of that food. Okay, tip number eight, and this is one I really use in a line with tip number one of view it as an educational tool, is gamify it. So let's say you're with your partner, for example, and you're both going on a fat loss journey, or you're both like, you know what, we're going to track calories and we're going to learn about the nutritional value of the foods we eat together. Let's say you're having a piece of fish and you've both got a piece of fish. Look at the piece of fish before you whack it on the scale and have a little game with each other. And it could be a bit of friendly banter, could be money involved, could be whatever you feel. Be like, how many grams do you reckon that piece of fish is? Bang, proper on the scale, whoever's most accurate, I don't know. Loser does five push-ups or something. I don't know. But gamify it. Guess how much before you put it on the scale. It'll translate to when you're in a restaurant and you're like, okay, if I was to be putting this on the scale at home, how close would I be? It'll also make you realize that you are notoriously bad for guessing how many grams food is, because I've been tracking for years and I still get it horribly wrong. So humans are notoriously bad. Like you mentioned yourself, nutritionists are like 50% inaccurate. So if we're not nutritionists and we're still getting it wrong and we've been tracking for years, how's the average Gen Pop person going to be able to get it right? So gamify it and combine that with tip number one of educational tool, and they all work hand in hand.
Yeah, I love this tip. It's funny, like, not proud of it, but back in the day when I put butter in my coffee, I'd put like 20 grams in there and I would slice it down what I thought was 20 grams. And mate, 9 times out of 10, I got it like fucking within a gram. So I knew how to cut my butter, but I don't do that shit anymore. But yeah, try it. Mate, yeah, like I said, like my missus is surprisingly really good at tracking, like, certain things and seeing how much stuff weighs in that. And as much as I do it, I'm still like, I'm like, shit, she's probably better than me. Like, I can pick up my game. It's because, like, I don't like with like chicken and stuff, you know how sometimes the surface of it, you can go, oh yeah, that's like 180, but then it's like really thin and then it could just like throw you off and stuff. Yeah, I think my depth perception's a bit agar. But anyways, no excuses. Yeah, we've been tracking for ages and I still get things like off a bit just because you're like so out of it and you're just like you forget that you can like just guess all the time. Like at the start I probably was really good, so then when I was going to restaurants and that, but yeah, now it's just like, yeah, just put it on scale, just put it and you don't think of it too much. But that really is a good tip to do, so then you do when you do end up going out, because like we've done it for ages, so it is second nature to us. But if you are going out to the restaurants, you're just like, yeah, it's a great tip to know that for sure.
Yeah, and it takes away from a bit of the monotony of tracking. Like, it may be like, oh, I've got to weigh this food. Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, I didn't have to do that. But it's like, hang on a sec. I can turn this into a game and I can have a running tally with my partner. Or even if you live on your own, you can be like, okay, let's see how close I am. And if I'm within 10 grams, I'll do this. Or if I'm outside of 10 grams of whatever it is, then I have to do 5 push-ups, or I have to do 10 squats, or I have to, yeah, just some form of funifying or gamifying the whole tracking experience.
Yeah, the Track Olympics. Right.
Okay, tip number nine. When taking something from a jar or container, for example, peanut butter, place it on the scale, tear it so it says zero, take the portion size that you want, and then have a look at what the negative number is on the scale, and that's how many grams are removed away. Rather than having your peanut butter and trying to like spoon it out, and then you've got peanut butter left on the spoon, and you're eating, licking the spoon, and you're not counting those calories, and you're putting it back, and some falls on your fingers, and you're licking that. You know exactly how many when you take put the container on the scale. Sauce is a great one. Put sauce on the scale, zero it, get it off, use your sauce, put it back on, bang, done.
Yeah, this one is notoriously for adding up calories. I'll just take it out of the jar. It's like, no, you gotta that tear is gonna be your friend. So whatever you're having on there, just make sure it's teared, and it just zeroes it out. So just make sure it's zero, and then it'll, because most scales will read the negative number in that. So just make sure you have a scale that does that. Most do. Like, make sure it's a digital scale as well. Like, just fork out whatever it is, $20, and grab a digital scale. Don't get one of those old school scales that you have to like turn. Have you seen them? Like, my mom's got one. It's like you have to turn the actual dial to get it on zero. Like, you're still zeroing it out, but man, this is like so inaccurate. So digital scale is going to be your friend. Make sure you have some spare batteries as well in case it turns off, because there's nothing worse when you're halfway through tracking something and it just dies on you.
Okay, tip number 10. Now, we talked about eating similar foods, similar meals. In that, we want to have like an 80-20 rule. We preach that a lot. So, eat predominantly whole foods. So, 80% of your food choices come from minimally processed whole foods. So, things like your sweet potatoes, your lean meats, your fruits and veggies, stuff like that. And then 20% from, let's say, your processed foods, things that come in packages and wrappers. The reason, a big reason why, is not just for health, but also because prepackaged foods can be out by up to 20%. So they have a 20% leeway. So you best believe that if someone is selling like a health food that's processed, for example, a protein bar, you best believe they're going to use that 20% variance to make the calorie content seem as low as possible for someone that's eating it. And pretty much any food's going to be on the lower side of calories because people are at least a little bit more aware of calories now. So if they've got that 20% leeway, they're going to use it to their advantage to make their product seem like a better product for dieting or weight loss or whatever it may be. So yeah, predominantly whole foods and then 20% from prepackaged or processed sources.
Oh, definitely, man. Like, that 20%, it's crazy buffer that they have. And it's not just calories, it could be also like protein. So they may say that it's got, 20 grams of protein, but really it's like 20% less. You're like, damn, I'm meant to be hitting my protein, but you may not be, even in a protein bar. And don't expect, like, do you really think that each protein bar is exactly the same calories and exactly the same macros for each bar? It's not going to be. So having those whole foods, so then you can actually know what you're putting in your body. And the thing with highly processed foods as well, you do take that energy a lot easier than, say, in a whole foods that have a lot more fiber in it and a lot more protein. Yes, a protein bar does have all that stuff, but again, you've still got the buffer that the manufacturers can put into that. So that's why we do say those whole foods, because if you're like, all right, I'm trying to get eat into a calorie deficit right now, and most of my foods are more coming from scanned meals, like that you get from the supermarket, and you're having bars and you're having shakes and stuff like that, and you're like, my calories are in a deficit, but I'm not losing any weight, and this is going on for a while, it could be because a lot of those meals are a lot higher than you are tracking. So even if you swap like a couple of those meals out for whole natural foods, and you actually made that meal by yourself, if you have the time, you'd be surprised about, oh yeah, it was probably those meals were just out, because it's not that you're tracking it wrong, it's just the barcode and that what they've written on the back of their ingredients list, and their macros are out by that 20%. And it's easy to do as well. So if you do see yourself creeping more into those packaged meals a lot more, just reel it in more and try and move towards more of that 80-20 rule of minimally processed foods and whole foods that we talk about.
Yeah, and this bleeds in nicely to our next tip, which is pay attention to the serving sizes on prepackaged foods. So cereal, for example, or peanut butter, for example, when you actually get a serving size of cereal or peanut butter out of the jar or container, you'll be like, really? I'm having 2 spoons of cereal. Because the serving sizes is just so small. I believe the serving size on Cocoa Pops, not that I eat them, is 30 grams.
Wow.
Now, who on earth eats 30 grams of Cocoa Puffs? Like, it's so small. Serving size for peanut butter is what, 15 or
Oh,
20,
mate, you'd
something like
know
that?
more than me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the serving sizes on, you'd be blown away. Now, the reason why this is important, because when you track it, it may track it as a serving size. Now, if you haven't done due diligence and you've just gone, oh, yeah, that's about a serving size, then it could actually be 2, 3 times the amount. Now, if I was to consume a bowl of Cocoa Pops, it would probably be more like a 60, 70, 80 gram serving, not a 30 gram serving, which then makes it 2.5 times the serving size. And I've just easily blown out my calories by 300, placing me out of a deficit for that day and placed me at maintenance just in that one meal. So yeah, it's really crucial to pay attention to the portion sizes in the food you're eating, and this leans into why we said tracking grams meals rather than just portion sizes.
Oh, mate. Yeah, it's so true. Like, you could even just scan a normal meal or say, even like Smarties. I got caught out once with Smarties. Like, I scanned a Smarties and it said like 70 calories for the packet. Now that was just one serving and it had 3 servings. So I'm like, oh yeah, it's 240. I'm like, oh, that would have been awesome if it was 70 calories for a whole packet of Smarties, but it obviously wasn't. And that's where they can get you. That's why you're like, just double check, go back into it and go, all right, is this in grams or is this in serving sizes? Because a lot of them do go straight to the serving size. And it's no fault really to the scanning of what it is. I guess it's just whatever is been put in there at the moment. But if I was to have it my way, I'd make sure everything is in like grams. But I guess that's how the manufacturers can get away with certain star ratings and that of like you can have this much in a serving size. And that's why I think even in America they can put 0 calories on something if they have like a buffer of that 20%. So there's sneaky ways of doing things of that. So yeah, just be very mindful when you do scan something. Double check that you're having the whole amount of it. So if you are having a meal, most like packaged meals say 2 servings in there as well. So just make sure it's the whole servings. I know the Muscle Chef meals, they just go straight out, so that's all good. It's usually the stock standard lasagnas and all those kind of people, the basic ones, they try and trick you with like the 2 serves in one, but usually yeah. Mushroom set chefs and all those good prepackaged high protein meals, they're usually pretty good with just going with the one standard serving size. So, but be mindful of it.
Yeah, just bringing awareness to the whole, check the portion sizes and in a package. Okay, tip number 12. When eating out, track individual ingredients rather than just a generic entry. Now, this one is quite common that I see with people that I work with. Let's say they go out for lunch on a Saturday and they have a burger and they'll just track
Okay.
beef burger.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, what was on the burger? Like, how do you know what that entry had in its burger? What kind of meat was used? Like, you're not going to know what kind of meat was used, but at least you could go, okay, I'm going to guess that they probably use like an 80-20% mince for their meat. So what I'll do is I'll find an entry of that and I'll guess the portion size of the bun. And this is where you said earlier, taking photos of your meal when eating out, and then where you can track it when you're home and you're not stressed with people at all. Like you said, people are taking photos of their food anyway, so
Exactly.
nobody think you're strange. But let's say the burger that you had 3 pieces of cheese on it. And the burger that they tracked had 1 piece of cheese on it. Well, yours is obviously going to have a lot more calories because it's a bigger burger and it's got 3 pieces of cheese. So, yeah, track the individual ingredients. Yes, it's time consuming. Yes, it's tedious, but you want to be as accurate as possible. That's the beauty of tracking macros. You can be as accurate as possible to your target. So, let's do things in order to keep you as accurate and close as possible to your targets.
And some food chains as well will have it in there of like if you went to, I don't know, Nando's or Porto's or whatever, it'll have the burgers and stuff in there, which you can cross-reference on the website as well. Sometimes they put how many calories and stuff on there. But again, that's that 20% as well they have to add on. So if you are in that deficit, you got, honestly, you should be putting 20% up from that. So I know people don't. They're like, oh, it's 700 calories just for that burger and chips. You're like, I don't want to put another 20% on. But yeah, you know, if you're not losing weight, that's probably why. Like, shouldn't be having that shit all the time. Like, go make a good burger, a good homemade burger.
It's an
Tastes a
extra
lot better.
150 calories right there with that 20% variance in that one meal.
Yep,
If you do
it's
that
crazy.
three times a day, that's 450 calories. That places you out of a calorie deficit. So
Yep, exactly right. So, yeah, just make sure, especially if you're going like a normal meal, you've got your entrees, and then they've got like hidden oils and stuff in there. Like I just automatically go like 10 to 20 grams, depending if you can see the oil floating up from the meal. It's like, damn, he's got a lot of oil and shit. So yeah, that's the thing with heading out. The chefs don't give a fuck about like your macros and that. Like you
nah,
can tell them
it's all
all
about
you
making.
want. They're still gonna put in like shitload of oil, butter and salt just to make it taste good so you can go back there.
It's all about making it taste good, so you go back and you give them more of your money. So that's the business they're in. I will add, this isn't a tip that we had, but with all of my clients that I work with online, if they eat out, I get them to add 5 mil of oil to each meal because it's something that not a lot of people think about, and that way it's at least accounting for some calories.
Oh yeah,
It's
I'd
probably
go even more, man. Fuck.
More than 5 mil, but at least they're thinking of like, okay, this is how
Yeah.
many grams of oil. And if, let's say they look at a meal and they can see like oil on top of like a pasta dish or something, then they go, okay, there's more than 5 mil in this, and they can make an informed decision to go to 10 or 15. But regardless of it, let's say it's a grilled chicken breast, I'd still add 5 mil of oil to it, even if you don't think it's in there, because it'll still allow for that buffer of you guessing the portion size wrong.
Yeah, and that's even just like you could, like, if you had a salad, they'll put oil all over it. So you could just ask for it on the side. Like, we've spoke about this before, just like keeping it to the side. So then you can go, all right, this is actually 5 grams from that. And they give you like a 50 gram bloody jar or whatever. So, yeah.
Okay, tip number 13, have some just fat, carb, and protein food options. So what I mean by this is let's say you get to the end of your day and you've nailed your protein, you've nailed your fat, and you've got like 50 grams of carbs left. Like, okay, I still want to eat that. I'm dieting and I want to get as much food in as possible. How do I get in 50 grams of carbs without going over on my protein fats? So let's say for carbs, some examples would be with fruit would be a great option. Some like form of juices or something like that would be great for carbs. Protein's pretty easy, a protein powder, WPI. Fats is the hard one. There's not many that are just fats other than oils, but nobody wants to be drinking straight oil.
Oh, they do.
But
Coconut oil.
yeah. But yeah, just have some ideas of like just carbs, protein, fat options to round out your macros for the day. Now, I do want to throw in the caveat. We said let your carbs and fats fall where they are. So let's say you've hit your protein target and you're at your fats and you've got like 40 grams of carbs list for the day. Let's say you're like, oh no, I'm going to have something that has carbs, fats, sugar, salt, because it tastes good. Then you might blow out your fats a little bit, just save a little bit of carbs. As long as your calories are equated for, you'll be sweet, and you've hit your protein target, you'll be sweet.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like the calories are kings when it comes down to it. You got to just make sure that you're not full on always blowing it out. You're like, oh, I'll just have that little bit, and then yeah, puts you over your calories. But yeah, you're right, there's not too many, like most foods are a combination of protein, fats and carbs. So when we say it's more like carbohydrate or it's more a protein, it's because predominantly that's the macronutrient that has the highest amount of grams in that set food. But yeah, there's always going to be traces of just hidden like fats and carbs that go into certain foods that you probably wouldn't even know about. And that's why the tool of tracking your macros, you can see, you're like, oh wow, that actually has some fat in it, or that it's actually got some carbohydrates. I had no idea. Like, what was it the other day? The fucking mushrooms. I had no idea it was just pure protein. I was like, and that's the thing. I was like, check it on my fuck. And that's teaching me every day. So yeah, just be mindful of that.
Now, this bleeds in nicely to tip number 14, which is don't be neurotic about it. So, like I said, you do want to have some just protein, just carbs, just fat options if you are really short on one of them. But don't be neurotic. Close enough is good enough when it comes to macros. So if you're, let's say, 5 grams either side of your protein and carbs and fats, that's close enough. That's good enough. As long as calories are equated for, you should be sweet. But yeah, close enough is good enough. Don't be neurotic and be like, oh, I've got 1 gram of protein to hit. I'll have 2 grams of this protein powder. Like, that's just a way too overly obsessive. And yeah, don't be neurotic. Close enough is good enough.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I give out mainly ranges instead of set target macros. So you go within this range, go within this range. As long as you've got your cap of your calories, you can play around with the lower version or a higher version. Because unless you're a robot, you're not going to have the same foods every single day for 365 days a year. Some people do it, and that's fine with them. But at the end of the day, yeah, don't. You don't, you're using it as a tool. You're not trying to just be so obsessed with it that it's going to make an unhealthy relationship with food, and you're not going to go out through life and go, I can't have that because that doesn't have the same amount of like carbohydrates that I need for this. And yeah, you can just get jumbled up everywhere.
Yeah, now don't be neurotic when it comes to hitting your macros targets. However, tip number 15 is track everything. If it has calories, track it. Now, I refer to the most common overconsumption of calories as BLTs. It's the ones that people don't track and they're not aware of. Now, BLTs are bites, licks, and tastes. So let's say someone's like, oh, I have a bite of this and try this, bang, 80 calories. Let's say you don't put your peanut butter jar on the scale and you just get it out, and then you put there's peanut butter all over your spoon or knife or whatever, and you lick it off the spoon. Whatever, they all add up, and that overconsumption leads to placing you out of a deficit or you being in too much of a surplus and you gain unwanted body fat. So if it has calories, track it. Now, this is more important if you are in a fatless phase, which you touched on earlier. So let's say you are in a fatless phase, you need to be a lot more diligent with tracking everything. But yeah, if it has calories, track it. That includes the BLTs, the bites, the licks, the tastes.
And alcohol as well. Like,
Yeah.
and yeah, and liquids in that. Some people like even their coffees, they forget to add the milk maybe, or if they're yeah out, oh, I had a beer after work, and then you just forget to track that. Or you're having some food off of your partner's plate every single night when we sit down to eat.
I feel like that's when we sit down to eat. I feel like that's directed at someone.
No, it's not at all. But it's so easy to do. And I know people are like, oh, share it with me, share half the calories and stuff, but it still counts if it's going in your gullet. And it's not like you're meaning to do it. Sometimes you just forget. Like you can just call people out. You're like, what have you had today? I've had nothing today. It's like, really? Think, what'd you have? Oh yeah, maybe I did have something this morning and something on the way to work or whatever it was. You just forget because, time, is crazy, and you're just like so busy all the time. And you could also just be like in front of the TV and then just randomly grab a packet of chips and just eat all that chips and then put them away and not even realize you had the chips. Like, there's also night eaters, wake up in the middle of the night and just scavenger. So yeah, that's not as common, but not remembering what you eat is a lot more common than not. And it may be because you don't want to put it in as well. So maybe that's something that you need to work through, maybe with a therapist or so, because you're like, oh, why do I feel like I don't need to put this food in? Like, why? Like, is it because it's bad? Does it have a bad connotation? Like, there's some stuff going on there. So we'll leave that aside for a minute. But like, yeah, just make sure you're tracking absolutely everything. Because they do add up a lot more diligent in a fat loss phase due to bits and pieces over a whole week, over a whole month. And you're wondering why you're not making so much progress. It's just because you need to tighten up that tracking just a little bit more than normal.
Yeah, a common one is, let's say people go to the cupboard and they're looking for something to eat, and there's a, I don't know, they've got a packet of Doritos in front of them. They get one Dorito out, but they do that visit to the cupboard out of boredom or whatever it may be, 6, 7 times throughout that day. That's 6, 7 Doritos that they then haven't tracked. And let's say they grab a Dorito and something else, or I'm just using it as an example. it all adds up. So you don't have to count your calories, but all your calories do count towards your total calorie consumption. So rather than wondering, I'm in a calorie deficit, I'm not losing weight. Well, are you actually in a calorie deficit? You haven't exactly tracked all your food. So you're probably actually at maintenance, and that's why you're not losing weight. So if it has calories, track it. That includes your BLTs, your bites, licks, and tastes.
Yeah, and I see parties are a big one too, of how they've got all the spread out on the
The
tables,
nibblies.
and you're just walking past and you're like, oh, I'll grab some celery, and then you dip it, and then
In
that's like, yeah,
the
exactly, or whatever it is.
hummus.
And I'm like, oh, that's a good dip. It's like, no one's saying that about celery. So it's just like the hidden shit. You're like, I just had some celery sticks. Like, yeah, what'd you have the celery sticks with? So yeah, that's also another one. I'm only saying that because I had my niece's birthday on the weekend and spread
You're
out in
guilty
front.
of
You just keep going back and you're like, well,
it.
it's easy. It's easy to overconsume.
Okay, so that's the 15 tips, and we did promise a bonus tip on the end, and that is track your fiber intake as well. So 9 times out of 10, not 100% of the time, but majority of the time, when you're tracking a food in MyFitnessPal, the fiber content will be in there as well. Now, let's say you're not going to the bathroom regularly, you're feeling really bloated, whatever it may be, it could be to do with the amount of fiber you're consuming. Now, I quite often view fiber as like a fourth macronutrient. If someone's feeling a bit bloated, they may be only having like 10 grams of fiber throughout the day, yet they're consuming 2,500 calories. Whereas someone that's consuming 2,500 calories should be having somewhere between like 25 to 35 grams of fiber in their diet. So you're tracking anyway, you might as well just pay attention to the amount of fiber you're consuming as well. It'll help keep you regular, help keep you fuller for longer. And yeah, I feel fiber is often neglected and not looked at when it comes to tracking your food intake.
Yeah, I think it's neglected because it's, doesn't really have that big bang for your buck that the other macronutrients do due to all the calorie content. But I think really when you're looking at the overall health, once you get past all the tracking of your macros and you go, all right, for health, I need to be having a certain amount of fiber each day. And just, yeah, keep your regular. It's a lot healthier to have more fiber than not. It's been shown in research. Whatever, don't listen to the carnivore zealots out there. It's just like it's very, very important. So that is a good one to look out for. Obviously, like here and there, like doesn't have you don't have to hit it like the other ones. It's not as important, but like for long term, it's really good just to be note, like just to note you may be hitting your calories and you may even be hitting your protein and carbs and fats and stuff, but then your fiber might be so low. You're like, okay. I'm actually not having any fruits or vegetables at all with my food, as my meals, throughout my diet, sorry. So that's when you're like, okay, it's maybe not just about the calories and the macronutrients right now. Maybe it is about health, and that's where you start to move towards that fiber, and that's a good gauge of, oh, I actually am eating foods that contain fiber that are good and nice and healthy for you.
Now, I will throw out a little caveat. Try and get that fiber from whole foods. So, from your fruits, from your veggies, from some grains like oats and stuff like that, rather than the artificial stuff. Like, I believe a Quest bar has like 10 to 12 grams of fiber in it. Now, you're not consuming a lot of calories there, like 200 to maybe 300 calories.
That's a
And you're
lot of
consuming.
fiber in one bar. I
Yeah,
wonder what would
it's like.
happen to someone if they'd eaten that.
So, yeah, 12 grams of fiber. Is a lot in that amount of food. Now, to give a general guideline of how much fiber you should be consuming per 1,000 calories, between 10, or I like to say 12 and 15 grams of fiber. So if you're consuming 3,000 calories a day, then you should be having at least 30 grams of fiber and up to 45 grams of fiber, even 50 grams of fiber. So that's a general guideline per 1,000 calories of how much fiber you should be consuming. But yeah, fiber is more for health reasons, but it will also help keep you fuller for longer, which can help with dieting. So
It's a big one.
yeah, a little, this is a bonus tip to do with fiber is a lot of the time I'll recommend to people who just come to me and start tracking macros, I'll recommend we work on breakfast first. It's the first meal of the day, so let's nail that one, get it right. And I recommend a high protein, high fiber breakfast. for two reasons. Protein's very satiating, and you want to get ahead of your protein target for the day because they've probably been under eating it. So you can get a kickstart on your protein target for the day. And fiber is very satiating, which will help keep you fuller for longer and make you less likely to eat later on in the day. So if you do have that weight loss goal, a high protein, high fiber breakfast is where I would go.
Yep, definitely. And you can sneak it in anywhere. Just have some fruit on hand.
Yeah, just a snack of an apple has what, 3 grams of fiber in it or something
Yeah,
like that.
it's really good. And it takes a while to eat. That's also another thing, like choosing foods with the whole foods, they do take a lot longer to eat. So that would keep your, well, it'll send a signal quicker, not quicker. You'll get fuller quicker than if you were to just finish, say, like a chocolate bar in like a minute, whereas like you're eating an apple for like maybe five or 10 minutes, depending.
It gives time for your hunger cues to kick in, is I think what you're trying
That's exactly what I was trying to say. But you know me, a little bit dyslexic, so go from there.
to say. Okay, so that's the 15 tips plus a bonus tip and then a little bonus tip on the end. But I just want to round out by saying when it comes to tracking macros as a whole, calories are king. So there's a hierarchy of importance. Calories is number one, protein is number two. Carbs and fats are relatively interchangeable, and then pay attention to fiber as well. That would be the hierarchy of importance for me. I'm pretty sure you would agree with that. But it's just worth noting that let's say you don't like eating protein whatsoever, or let's say you're vegan or vegetarian, and it's really hard to get insufficient protein without having too much fiber and feeling backed up, then you can go on the real lower end of that protein range. So long as your calories are equated for, you will still see fat loss, or if you're in a surplus, you will still see weight gain.
No, I'm glad you touched on that, because people can be like, oh, I've hit my calories, I've hit my protein, but I haven't hit my carbs or fats and stuff. That's where you don't want to go. That's not the road you want to go down. Like, as long as you hit your calories and your protein, you're golden. Like, try not to go, oh, I'll hit my fat target. Like, as long as it's like the minimum or like carbohydrate target, but it's going to push you over your calories. Don't do that if you're trying to lose weight. So that's why we have the rungs of calories, protein, then carbs and fats, then fiber, obviously.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay, so that's a wrap for today's Tracking Macros episode. We just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. If you enjoyed or took any value at all from this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you took a screenshot and shared to your Instagram stories. Don't forget to tag us at brain.body.movement, at Brad Dapper, and at Brock_Dalgleish. We would also love if you shared it with family and friends and left us a 5-star review. And don't forget to turn on post notifications so you don't miss an episode in the future. But before we go, if we can leave you with a few things, make your damn bed, get your steps in, and be kind to one another.
Cheers.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit strange when you said 1.2 to 2.2 earlier.
I say 1.2? Oh,
Yeah.
1.6. 1.6.
Yeah. You just edit that part out there and
Yeah.
just put the 1.6 that you said when
Okay,
you said
we go.
1.2.
Okay, I'll do it now. Yeah, the 1.6 to 2.2 grams. Okay, cool.